that they don't even have a translation for the word commitment. Now, I want to just tell you today, I want to talk to you about some natural things this morning to set up the Word of God, because the Bible talks a lot about commitment. Amen? Have you, when you study the Scriptures, do you see that in the Word of God where the Bible tells us about commitment? How many of you know today that there are political parties that are looking for your commitment today? And they're looking for your commitment not to benefit you, but to help themselves. I remember not very long ago, I got a call from the fire department, and they asked me if they could count on me for my commitment to give. And I thought to myself, boy, that is a good way to do that. They pretty much just put it on me to where I'm going to feel bad if I don't give, because you're asking me, can you count on me for my commitment? And how many of you know what I'm talking about? When people get married, they make a commitment. How many of you are married here today? When you got married, what did you do? You made a commitment to your spouse, and you said, I'm going to love you for the rest of my life, whether things are good, whether things are bad, if you get sick, if you're healthy, if everything's going great, if everything's going bad. Baby, listen, when we stand up in front of each other, we make a commitment for life, till death do us part. My wife just got finished doing a wedding last weekend, and she told me, she said this was her first wedding, and she told me, she said, when I was standing up there, and I'm telling you, there's something spiritual that takes place at a wedding. Even if people are not believers, you can feel it when they look in each other's eyes and they make a commitment to each other. And she told me, she said, I almost started crying. I had to stop myself because I wanted to cry, because I could feel that level of commitment that they were making. And as I started thinking about this word, and as I started studying, I began to think about people that make a commitment to natural things. How many of you know some people are so committed to stuff? My brother-in-law is so committed to the gym that he's there at 4:30 almost every morning. I'm telling you, I am not that committed to being in shape. I'm gonna just be honest with you. At 4:30 in the morning, the only thing I'm committed to is my pillow. How many of you know what I'm talking about? But I started thinking about how some people get so committed to certain things. There are Olympians that commit themselves to a single race, to a 100-yard dash, and they train for years. They change the way they eat. They change the way they sleep. They don't go out with their friends and do things. They live a life that is dedicated to one race. And it's an amazing commitment that they have, and they have this commitment to be the best. And I just want to say, you know, many people here in this church have made a commitment to serve this country under oath. We made a commitment. We stood there, and we made a commitment that we would defend this place with our very lives. And we know what that feels like when you stand there and you raise your right hand and you make a commitment. And what you said is listen, even unto my death, I will defend my nation. So we live in an area, and we live in a country, and we live among people that understand what it means to make a commitment to something. Now, I want to give you the definition for commitment today. Many of you know that I'm a word person. I love to look up the definition of words, because many times we think we know what a word means, and we only know part of what it means. We don't know the whole thing. And so I want to encourage you, when you're thinking about words, don't just think you know what it means, but actually look it up. One of the best dictionaries you can use is the Webster's 1828. I love it because it goes back before all these different newer versions of words, and it has a lot of Christian words in it as well, so it's an amazing thing. You can actually use that online. So this is what a commitment is. It's a state of personal dedication to something or someone which results in actively promoting and working for their good and well-being. Let me say that one more time. Commitment is a state of personal dedication to something or someone which results in actively promoting and working for their good and well-being. Now, we're a people that understands what it means to make a commitment. Now, what I ask you today, as we get ready to get into the Word of God, are you committed to God today? Are you committed to God? If we look at the definition of what it means to be committed, would you be able to honestly say this morning, I'm committed to God? What are you dedicating your life to? And what are you actively promoting and working for? These are some things that I want us to think about this morning as we get ready to get into the Word of God. If you've got your Bibles, you can turn to Deuteronomy chapter 27. If you don't have your Bible, we're going to be able to throw that up on the screen, but I want to encourage you. If you don't have a Bible, let us know today, and we want to give you one. We've got Bibles that we would love to make those available. If you don't have one, if you've got one at home, you can get it when you go home. But if you don't have a Bible, we want to make sure before you leave today that you get a copy of the Bible. If you've got a smartphone, you may not know this or you may know this, but there is an app called YouVersion that's an amazing app. It's free. You can get the Bible in almost any language in the world, and it's right on your phone. You can look it up. There's many versions in English and many other languages as well if you speak another language this morning. But I want to encourage you, make sure when you come to the house of God that you bring your Bible. And even more than that, make sure when you leave your house you've got the Word of God with you. Amen? Because if you stay in the Word, it'll change your life. So before we get into that verse this morning, I want to pray this morning, and I want to ask God for the next few minutes to really be with us and help us to look at ourselves. And what I'm believing this morning, what I'm praying for, is that the Holy Spirit is going to work with me this morning, and I'm going to work with Him this morning. And there's situations that are going on in each of your lives, and I have no idea what's going on. There are people watching right now. I have no idea what's going on in your life. But what I do know is the God that I serve knows exactly what's going on in your life. And I believe that somehow, some way today, He's going to speak into your situation if you have ears to hear. And so I want to pray for you this morning, and I want to ask God today that none of us would leave this place today the same way that we came in, that we would all receive something from God and that word would change us from the inside out. So, Father, I thank you right now for your word, and I ask you, God, as we get ready, that you would make the word of God, and we get ready to examine ourselves and our commitment to you, Father, I pray that you would make things plain for us. I pray that you would help us to see not what we think is going on, but what's really going on in our lives. Holy Spirit, we give you permission right now to move in our minds, to move in our lives, to move in our hearts, and to speak to us so that we can be changed into your image and your glory. And Father, we give you praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So Deuteronomy 27:10, this is what it says. It says, therefore, you shall obey the voice of the Lord your God and observe his commandments and his statutes, which I command you today. Now, Moses commanded the children of Israel to commit to follow God and his commandments. If you study the Old Testament, what you'll find out is the thing that differentiated Israel from the rest of all the nations on the earth was what? That God had given them his law. God had himself given them the key that they needed so that they could live a life that was pleasing to him. At that time, no other nation on the face of the earth had the law of God. They didn't have the word of God. They didn't know what they needed to do to please God. And Moses is telling them, listen, if you obey the voice of the Lord, if you commit and you observe his commandments that I'm commanding you today, if you read that chapter, that next chapter, we don't have time to read it today, but Deuteronomy 28, that's the blessing chapter, but it's also the cursing chapter. It's the blessing for those that do the commandments, and it's the curse for those that don't do the commandments. And in other words, what Moses was saying to the children of Israel is he was saying, listen, commit yourself to the Lord. Commit your ways to the Lord. Do what the Lord says, and you're going to be blessed. You're going to prosper, and things are going to go well with you. And we understand by reading that they had the knowledge of how to please God, and they did great for a while, didn't they? And then all of a sudden, what happened? They slipped back in loose commitment. They all of a sudden, instead of just serving only God and Him alone, altars for other gods began to creep back in the land. All of a sudden, instead of being 100% committed to God, they were committed to God and. Now, I want to encourage you this morning, you cannot be committed to God and. You either commit to God or look at it any other way. Now, if you keep going in the Old Testament, what you'll find is Joshua comes along after Moses. And Joshua called the children of Israel to remember Moses' word and commit to following God and his ways again. So let's look at Joshua chapter 24, and we're going to look at verse 14 and 15. And you can go ahead and say amen when you find it. Joshua 24, verses 14 through 15. Anybody found it yet? All right, good. So this is what the word of the Lord says. Now therefore, fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now, I want you to understand, these are some famous scriptures. Some of you probably have those on a plaque in your house. Who's got that on a plaque in your house? I do. That's one of my favorite things I have. I got it right by the door, and I look at it every day, and I want my kids to look at it every day because I want them to know, and I will point to it when they're not acting right or when they're not doing right, and I say, hey, what does that say? We serve the Lord in this house. When you get out of this house, you're going to be able to do whatever is right to you. But as long as you live here, we're going to serve the Lord and we're going to do what the Lord says. We're going to obey Him and we're going to live that way. And so many of you know what I'm talking about, but I want you to understand those two verses, what they're actually doing is they're showing us how to commit ourselves to the Lord. So I want to talk about that this morning. The first thing He says in verse 14, He says, fear the Lord. Fear the Lord. You can't commit to God if you don't fear God. If you don't have the fear of the Lord in your life today, you're not going to commit to God because God is going to be just like anything else. He's going to be something added to your life. He's going to be something else. But if you understand who He is and you understand what He's done and you understand His power, you're going to have a desire to commit yourself to the Lord and fear the Lord. Amen? Anybody believe that this morning? How many of you know that when I'm talking about fear, I don't mean you need to cower down and think God's going to sit up in heaven and strike you with a lightning bolt? You understand what I'm saying? But we understand the power that He has. How many of you love electricity? Be honest. You can just flip that thing on, and none of us would be afraid of electricity, but let me have a cut cable up here, a cut electrical cable. And when you see that, what happens? Whoa. Why? Because you know what electricity is capable of. It's capable of doing some amazing things, but it's also capable of killing you if you don't treat it with the proper respect. A cut electrical cord. That's why the Apostle Paul said, listen, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. He's a God of love, but He's also a God of justice, and His justice will not allow His love to wink at sin today. Now, I want to just encourage you with that. When we have a fear for the Lord, the next thing it says is we're going to serve Him in sincerity. Serve Him in sincerity. What does that mean? The word sincerity means the quality of being free from pretense, deceit, or hypocrisy. Did you know that there are people today that actually serve the Lord in pretense? They serve the Lord in deceit, and they serve the Lord in hypocrisy. It's possible to do that. We can serve God with an insincere heart. We can serve God for personal reasons. We can serve God to better ourselves. We can serve God in order to get into a position or into a place of prominence where we feel like we're in a better spot now because we go to church. I know nobody's going to say amen to that this morning, but it's true anyway. We can serve God in insincerity. You know what we can also do? We can serve God out of obligation. Instead of serving God in sincerity, like the Bible says, some of us get to a place like the children of Israel where we still serve God, but we serve God out of obligation. And I'm going to tell you right now, I'm a pastor. I've been there. You may have heard the joke before where the man rolls over in bed and it's Sunday morning. He looks at his wife and he says, baby, I do not want to go to church this morning. I am so tired. And he says, you give me one good reason why I ought to go to church this morning. And she rolls over and she looks at him and she says, baby, you're the pastor. And it's true. Sometimes pastors can get to a place where they're serving, but they're serving out of obligation. There are people that serve faithfully in the house of God, but they're not serving in sincerity anymore. They're serving out of obligation. And if you're going to commit yourself to God, God says, listen, serve me with sincerity or don't serve me at all. Don't come with a half heart. Don't come with a heart that you're just doing it because of this or that. But if you're going to serve me, come with a heart of sincerity. We need to serve God with sincerity this morning. It's a disservice to God to serve Him any other way than to serve Him with a sincere heart this morning. Pastor can't get but one amen this morning. That's okay. I'm going to preach it anyway. I'm going to preach it. Serve Him in truth. What does that even mean? Serve Him in sincerity and serve Him in truth. Did you know that we can serve a God of our own terms and not according to His word? There are many people that make a God up in their own mind and they serve that God rather than the living God. their God wouldn't do anything that the real God would do. You ever heard people say that, you know, things like that, well, would do this, or my God, well, you better make sure your God is the God of the Bible. You better make sure that you're not making a God to fit your image and what you think is right and what you think is good and what you think you need to go to the Word of God and make sure that you're serving Him in truth and in sincerity. Verse 15, I love this. He says, if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose yourselves this day whom you will serve. You know what Joshua's doing? He's drawing a line in the sand. He's looking at his people, and I want you to understand, this wasn't a group of people that was outside of the congregation. This wasn't the world versus the church. This was Joshua in the congregation of Israel, and he's saying, listen, there's something going on right now that we used to serve God. We used to serve God in sincerity and in truth. We used to fear the Lord, but what I'm looking at now and what I'm seeing is you all don't fear the Lord. I don't see you fearing the Lord. I see the way you're living, and I see that it's not fearing the Lord. And he basically draws a line in the sand, and he says, today, listen, all of us are going to have to make a choice. He basically said, I'm telling you right now, I'm drawing the line. I'm calling out. I'm calling what's right. I'm calling what's wrong. And you're going to have to make a decision what you're going to do with it. What he does is he differentiates between good and evil. Now, I want to tell you that we're living in a day today where even the church is beginning to balk at ideas, and even the church is beginning to get weak on what sin is and what the Word of God calls sin. Now, I want to encourage you this morning, my brothers and sisters, what the Word of God calls sin, don't let anybody call righteousness. I want to encourage you this morning, we're living in a day where we're going to have to draw a line in the sand, not just in the world, but also in the house of God, and we're going to have to stand up for righteousness' sake, or we're going to have to say, no, I don't agree with that. I'm going to step over here, but there has to be a line drawn where we're going to have to make a decision. No longer are we going to be able to just stand there and say, well, I don't really know about that. I hear people say that, and it makes me angry with righteous anger, I'm telling you. When I hear pastors or I hear leaders and I see them on TV and I hear people say, well, what do you think about this? And it's very clear in the scriptures what the Word of God says on that particular subject. It doesn't mean that you hate somebody if you don't agree with them or if you don't agree with the lifestyle that they're living. We can agree with people and still love them with the love of God. Amen. And Joshua was saying to the children, he was saying, listen, I'm drawing a line in the sand. Some people today think righteousness is evil. Did you know that? Some people today will look at the Word of God and they will declare that that is evil, that you're a hater if you believe that. And we're living in that day and time, not just in the world, split church. There are denominations in the Christian church that are being split right down the middle because some people believe what the Word of God says and other people think the Word of God is antiquated and it's old and it needs to catch up with the times. Well, I've got news for you this morning. The Word of God says, my Word is forever settled in heaven. It will not change. Jesus said this. He said, listen, heaven and earth may pass away, but my words will not pass away. And I want to tell you this morning that if you found your life on the Word of God, when the storms come and when the rain comes, you are going to be able to stand any storm because the devil cannot wash away the Word of God. But if you found your life on anything else, it's going to get washed away because it's not the bedrock of the Word of God. So I want to encourage you this morning. I believe that there are people here this morning who even have family members and who have people in their own lives where they're trying to make you compromise on the Word of God. They're trying to make you change your mind on the Word of God. And I believe God has given me this message today to encourage you, hold fast to the Word of God. Hold strong to the Word of God. Don't allow people's opinions to sway you from what the Word of God says to be true, because the Word of God is forever settled in heaven. And I'm telling you, we need to draw a line in the sand today. And everybody needs to know what side you stand on. We can't be hiding anymore. We can't be in the closet anymore. We can't be wishy-washy anymore. But we've got to stand for righteousness' sake. We got to stand between right and wrong. How many of you understand there's right and there's wrong? There's truth and there's lies. And what Joshua was saying is, listen, it's a demand for action and a choice to be made from those who call themselves children of God. Now, I want you to understand that he was not talking to the Amorites. He was not talking to the Philistines. He was not talking to pagans. He was talking to those who claim to be children of God. And he said, listen, choose this day who you'll serve, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. What he was saying is don't keep acting like you serve God if you really don't. Don't act like it if you don't. There's a New Testament scripture that Paul talks about in 2 Timothy 2:19. 2 Timothy 2:19, and this is what it says. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows those who are his, and let everyone who, look at that, in the name of Christ, depart from iniquity. Let's look at that and think about it. Paul is saying, nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, and then he's going to tell us what this foundation is. Having this seal, the Lord knows who are his. Do you know what that's telling us? That's not telling us that we know everybody that's who's his, but what does that tell us? God knows who's really his in the church. Everybody that's in the church is not really his. That's what this is saying. There are some people in the church that know when to raise their hands. They know when to clap. They know when to shout. They know when to say the right things, and they're doing all these things. And he says, no, the Lord knows those who are his. And then the second part of that is what? Let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. In other words, if you're going to declare that you're a Christian, if you're going to declare that you follow Christ, what do you need? Things that the word from iniquity. Get away from iniquity. Stay away from iniquity. Don't do those things that the world does because you are a Christian. You're a follower of Christ. In other words, what he's saying is pick a side and stay on it. Follow him and don't hop back and forth across this line and that line. If you claim Christ, then follow him and stay away from sin. Let me tell you what that word iniquity means. That word iniquity means the condition of one without law. The condition of one without law. What is the difference between sin and iniquity? Sin is the trespass of the law. You miss the mark. Iniquity is someone in being in the condition without law. In other words, you don't even care about the law. You've thrown the law away. It doesn't even matter to you anymore. You can know that's wrong. Doesn't even matter to you anymore. You don't even care about it anymore. You've accepted that as a part of your life. You begin to say, listen, I was born this way. I've dealt with this my whole life. There's no hope for me being delivered from this. So I'm just going to keep going to church and I'm going to keep doing this. And I want to tell you this morning that there is a power that is in the name of Jesus Christ that can separate sinners from sin. There's a power in Jesus' name today that can separate you and wash you clean and make you white as snow. There's a power today in the name of Jesus that can overcome every sin. There's a power today in the blood of Jesus Christ that can make the worst people the best people because they're come alive in Jesus' name. And I'm telling you, there's hope today in Jesus' name. You don't have to be bound by iniquity. You don't have to walk in iniquity. Iniquity is also a pattern of sin. It's a habitual pattern where a person just keeps going back. It's not a Christian that sins. I want to tell you today, if you meet a Christian and they tell you that they don't sin, 1 John tells us they're a liar and the truth is not in them. If you're here today, there's something going on. You're missing it somewhere. I'm not saying you mean to, because there are things of omission or things that we don't do that we're supposed to do that we don't even think about those, right? But I just want to encourage you this morning and tell you that the power of Jesus Christ is real today. And you can make a commitment to him today. And I'm telling you right now, he can destroy the power of sin in your life. There are people that have watchers sin. There are people that have been bound by addictions. There are people that have been all through the scriptures. I could share with you my testimony. There are many people in here that could share with you their testimonies of how they were this way. I was such an angry person. And I'm telling you right now, I would try to be nice. But if you push the wrong button, I was going to blow up on you. I was gonna come after you. There wasn't anything I could do about it. I didn't care who was around. I could be in front of people that I knew if I do this, I'm going to get in trouble. And the thought never even entered my mind. If you did me wrong, I was going to get you. And that's the way I felt. And then when I got saved, when I gave my life to Jesus Christ, when he came in and he washed my heart clean and he gave me a new heart and he made me a new person, all of a sudden I found out I still had the ability to get angry, but now there was something living on the inside of me called the Holy Spirit that actually gave me power to stand up against that anger. And guess what happened? That anger had to go and get out of my life. That anger had to leave my life. I found what the Word of God says, and it says that the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. And I began to get that on the inside of me, and I would love to tell you that it happened right away, but it didn't happen right away. A year after I got saved, I was getting ready to be a missionary, and I was getting ready to go to Italy a couple of years after I got saved, and I hadn't gotten angry, hadn't lost my temper. I was still in the Marine Corps, and a guy said something smart to me, and I closed the gap and had him by the throat before I realized what I was doing. With my hand back like this, getting ready to punch him, and his eyes are this big. And just a few moments before, I'd been sharing the gospel with him. Think about that for a second. And as soon as that happened, I was like, oh my gosh, what am I doing? And I began to cry, and I said, Lord, please forgive me. And I tried to talk to this guy and tell him, listen, please forgive me. And he wouldn't even talk to me. It was like 2 or 3 days, and I kept praying. I was like, God, I've ruined this opportunity. And about 3 days later, he came to me, and he told me, he said, listen, I believe more in God now than I did before, because to see you come back and apologize, I've never seen somebody do that before. I told him, I said, listen, that wasn't Jesus that did that. Let me tell you, that was all me. And I made a mistake. I said, please forgive me. And there are some of us here today that have made huge mistakes in our lives, and we think that we've blown it, and we think that we've wasted it, and we think that we can't do anything. And I want to tell you today, if you'll humble yourself and go back, there are some of you here today that have done things that if you'll humble yourself and go back and ask that person to forgive you, God can not only set you free, but he can set them free as well. And that's the power that's in the name of Jesus Christ. In verse 15, he tells us that his choice is, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He's committed. He's letting them know, listen, I'm committed. Now, when I ask you today, we're going to be receiving communion at the end of this service, and then we're going to be eating together. Now, when I ask you today, before we get to the chili, I want to ask you today, before we get to that part of the service, are you committed to Jesus today? Have you committed your life to him? Are you really living in committed relationship with him? Are you serving him in sincerity? Jesus called people to commit to him. Many of you remember in Matthew's gospel, he said, listen, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. And it's an amazing thing. What would you do if you didn't know somebody and they walked up and just said, follow me? I'd look at that guy and be like, who are you? Wait a second. What do you mean, follow me? Jesus did that to James and John while they were fixing their nets. And he walked up and he said, listen, follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. The Bible says they left their nets, they left their dad, they left their business, and they began to follow him. They committed. Peter, the same thing. Matthew was a tax collector, a sinner, robbing people, doing all kinds of bad stuff. Jesus walks into the IRS of the day, looks at Matthew while he's sitting there taking numbers, and he said, listen, get up and follow me. Matthew leaves everything, gets up and follows Jesus, and pretty soon he becomes a disciple. He committed. Now, when I ask you today, are you committed to Jesus? They committed their way to the Lord. And if you haven't done so, I want to encourage you today, commit your way to the Lord. Psalms 37:5 says, commit your way to the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in him, and he will bring it to pass. Now, I want to tell you today, it's wise to commit your way to the Lord. When you commit your way, it says also trust in him. Now, I want to share with you, we're homeschooling our daughter this year, and she shared with me something because she's doing a Christian homeschool, and she asked me a question because it was part of her curriculum this week, and she said, Dad, did you know it's a sin to doubt? And she was like, you know, a little incredulous of that because she was thinking, what, it's a sin to doubt? And I said, absolutely. Yeah, I did know that. And it was the first time that she had heard that or thought about that apparently. And I said, do you know why? And she said, no, it doesn't make sense. And I said, well, when you doubt, what are you doing? You're not believing what God said. If God says something and you doubt, what you're doing is you're believing in that more than you're believing in what God said. You're not committed to what God said. You're committed to other things. Many of us think that because we commit our way to God only to go and try to bring it to pass in our own strength and in our own time. How many of us have done that? I know I'm guilty of that. I've committed something to the Lord, and I said, God, I'm giving this to you. I'm putting this into your hands, and as soon as I get off my knees, I go right back, and I start trying to do it in my own strength. I start trying to do it in my own flesh. I think what Tanya was talking about this morning, struggle. They asked God, and God said no, and she said, okay, I'm not going to do it, but I'm sure there was a struggle. She wanted to do things in her own way. She wanted to do things in her own strength. I prayed and then tried to do things in my own strength, in my own wisdom. with my own hard work or my own willpower. That's not what this verse says. It says, commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him, and He will bring it to pass. There are some of us today, and we've committed some things to God, and then we try to pick it back up and do it in our own strength. Now, I want to encourage you this morning. God is encouraging you today. Listen, commit it to me. Leave it in my hands. But I'm going to make it come to pass. Amen? And the last scripture is John 8:34. Some people live committed to sin instead of committed to God. So answer them, 8:34. It says, Jesus answered them, most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. If a person habitually commits sin, the Bible says they're a slave to sin, because whoever commits sin is a slave to sin. Now, free from that, you don't get free from that from trying harder. How many of you know that to be true? If that was true, you would have got free from that a long time ago. I have tried so hard to get free from certain things. I tried so hard to get free from anger. I'll just use that as an example. Tried so hard, and man, I could do good for a long time. I could have people cuss me out, and I was able to hold myself. I was able to keep myself in check, and people cut me off on the road, and instead of giving them the middle finger, I could wave at them. You know what I'm saying? I could hold myself for a while. But if you caught me when I was tired, if you caught me when my willpower was low, if you caught me in a bad situation, before I even knew what was happening, I would blow up. Because why? That was on the inside of me. That anger was on the inside of me. But what happened, and this is what I want you to understand, I could not stop it by my own willpower. I couldn't stop it from reading books. I couldn't stop it even from getting other people to tell me, you don't need to be angry all the time. People used to tell me that, and I'd be like, you don't think I know that? You don't think I know I'll not be angry? Of course I know. You don't think I know that when I yell at people and I get mad at people, you don't think I feel bad about that? You don't think I feel bad after I walk away and I know that I've said something that I shouldn't have said to somebody that I love? Of course I know that. And there are people, the problem, that what we're trying to do is treat the symptoms instead of going to the root of the problem. And the root of the problem is called sin. It's called anger. And I'm telling you today that I serve a God, and His name is Jesus Christ, and He can make an angry man peaceful right now in 2019. You commit it to God. Commit your way, whatever it is that the devil is bringing against you, if you commit it to God, commit your way, and you keep trying to do it, commit your way to the Lord today. Some of you keep trying to do it in your own strength, and you keep trying to do it in your own willpower, and you keep trying to think of new ways or read about this or read about that, and it's clear what the Word says. Listen, don't do that. There's freedom in Jesus today. There's freedom in Jesus today. If you want to be free from that, there's freedom today from sin in a life committed to Jesus. And that's the key, when you commit your life to Him. What do you do if you're, just say for instance, you're struggling with anger and you're committed to Jesus and you blow up on somebody. What do you do if you're committed to Jesus? What does the Bible say? Go to that person. Repent. You know how many times you have to repent before you quit doing that because you've committed your way to the Lord? How many times you have to humble yourself? I used to be a big liar before I got saved. I'm just telling you, I had a problem with bragging. I had a problem with lying. And I literally would lie so much, sometimes I didn't even know when I was lying and when I was telling the truth. Is it all right if I'm honest with you today? I know most pastors are not going to tell you that, but I'm just going to be honest with you because Jesus has changed my life. But I used to lie really bad, and I used to tell all kinds of stuff. And I can remember after I got saved, I hated that. Before, it didn't bother me at all, but after I got saved, I realized I would be in the middle of talking about something, and I would be telling a lie. And you know what the Holy Spirit would say to me? You tell that person right now you're lying. And you know what I did? I was committed to Jesus, and I was committed to living my life for Him. And I've literally stopped in mid-conversation while I'm telling a story and looked a person in the eyes and said, I'm lying to you right now. And they look and go, what? And I say, listen, I'm a believer, and I'm telling you, I'm dealing with this in my life right now. And the Holy Spirit just spoke to me, and I realize I'm lying right now. So I want to repent. I want to apologize to you, and I want to repent. Guess how many times I had to do that? 3 times I did that. Before, you know what happened? I quit lying. I stopped. I was like, God, I do not want to have to keep doing this, because every time I would tell a lie, the Holy Spirit lived on the inside of me. I still had the ability to lie like I did before, but what I had different was the Holy Ghost living on the inside of me. And every time I would do something wrong, he would say, listen, do the right thing. And because I was committed to him, I did the right thing, and he changed me, and he took me from being a liar to being a truth teller today. And it's all because of him and all to his glory. It has nothing to do with me. Now, I'm going to tell you today, I don't care what is going on in your way to Jesus. I don't care what sin has gotten a hold of you. If you will commit your life and your way to Jesus Christ, his power is greater than every sin, and he can set you free today if you'll commit your way to him, if you'll commit your life to him. So I want to, as we get ready to close today, I got a question. How does a pastor, you know what, commit themselves to Jesus? If you really want to do it today and you say, Pastor, you know what, I've heard people preach the gospel before and I've heard people say Jesus can change our lives, but I'm not talking to you about coming down front and praying a prayer and then not being changed. I'm not talking about saying some magic words. I'm talking about making a commitment to living according to the Word of God. I'm talking about making a commitment to Jesus Christ where he sees your heart. Remember what that word says, the Lord knows those who are his. And he knows those who are faking. He knows those who are playing the hypocrites on the stage. I love the Woos translation of the Bible. Do you know what it says about the hypocrite? It calls them act and go in and they can act it up. And there are people that are actors on the stage of life. Boy, they can go in and they can act it up and they can be anything and anywhere. They're chameleons. They're excellent actors. They can be in the club on Friday night doing all kinds of bad things and be in church on Sunday morning in the choir. Acting. And I'm just telling you today, if you want to be a committed follower of Jesus Christ, the power of God is here today. This is how you want to become a committed follower of Jesus. You got to realize first, I'm not committed to Jesus. I'm committed to all kinds of other things. I'm not committed to him. If I'm going to be honest with myself, if I'm going to be real honest, I'm not committed. Then you got to turn from whatever you're following that's not him. You've got to be willing to separate yourself from anything that's contrary to the Word of God. You've got to be willing to say, Jesus, I love you and I'm committing myself to you and you alone. And anything that is in my life that does not line up with your Word, from right now forward, I'm leaving it right here. It's gone. It's dead to me. I'm crucified to that now, like the Apostle Paul says. I'm leaving it alone. And then you've got to do the most important thing. You've got to put your faith in Jesus Christ and in him alone. You've got to put your faith in Jesus Christ and in him alone. And the reason that we do that is because Jesus is the only one worthy. He's the only one who lived on this earth just like us in a human body, the Bible says. Santuan, you can go ahead and come and start. He lived like us. The Bible says that he was didn't consider it robbery. He didn't think it robbery to be considered equal with God, but he emptied himself. He became of no reputation, the Bible says. He came down from heaven's throne, and he made himself a body and then got in it. And he lived a perfect, sinless life. Everything that you are tempted to do and everything that I'm tempted to do wrong that would break God's law, everything that I'm tempted to do to commit myself to something else, Jesus was tempted in all those ways. And the Bible says, yet he was without sin. He was without sin. And that's why faith in him and him alone and his shed blood on the cross, what he did was he went to the cross and he died in your place and he died in my place. He became the sacrifice. He became the substitute for me. For the righteous, for the unrighteous. The Holy One is on the cross. His body was broken. His blood was shed to the very last drop. And the Bible says he gave up the ghost. He said, it is finished. We're going to look at that verse as we get ready to close. But I want you to understand that. And it says, on the third day, Jesus rose from the dead. And when he did that, that very act of the resurrection tells us today that he even has the power over death. And if he has the power over death, he absolutely has the power over sin today. Anything that is coming against your life, anything that's trying to destroy you, anything that's trying to pull you away from him, and if you'll commit yourself to him today, if you'll commit your faith to him today, if you'll say, Jesus, forgive me of my sin, wash me clean, make me new, I put my faith in you, and you commit your life to him, You don't need to clean yourself up first because you can't do that. He'll do that for you if you'll stay committed to Him. And then you follow Jesus in all your ways. I'm going to ask our ushers right now if they would, if they will go ahead and they're going to pass out the communion this morning. And as they're passing out the communion, I'm going to ask you if you would just hold on to it. And we're going to eat and drink together today. And the Bible tells us that when we get ready to have communion, it says examine yourself. You know, this is one of the most amazing times that we come together as the church. Because what we have an opportunity to do is before we eat or drink, we have an opportunity to examine ourselves. How many of you want to be judged by God or judged by others? None of us want to be judged. That's not a good feeling. And that's why the Bible says, listen, judge yourself. Examine your own self. Examine your own heart and look at your heart today. Look at your life today. Look at your relationship with God today. And if it's not where it needs to be, I want to challenge you today not to come down front and pray a prayer. Because you can come down front and pray a prayer and go back to your seat and be the same person. And you can sit right where you're at and you can make a decision today by faith to commit your life to Jesus Christ and be changed forevermore. You don't even have to be in a church. I wasn't in a church when I got saved. I wasn't in a church when I committed my life to Jesus Christ. I was on a Navy ship off the coast of Malta in 1998 all by myself in my rack with the curtains pulled. And I told Jesus, I said, I've made a mess out of my life. I said, I don't even know how to pray. I've made a mess out of my life. And I said, if you can do anything with me, I said, please forgive me. I'm a bad man. I know it. I said, forgive me, God. And if you can do anything with me, please do something with me. Please change my life. Please come into my life and make me new. And I'm telling you, I got up out of that coffin rack and I knew that the old James had died and a new James rose to new life. And I'm going to tell you, God is not a respecter of persons today. What He's done for me, He'll do for anybody. There are many of you in here today that have a real living relationship with Jesus Christ. And I believe there are some people today that don't have a living relationship with Jesus Christ. And I want to encourage you, if that's you today, I want to pray before we do this. And I want to read one last scripture out of Luke 23:46. And when Jesus had cried out with a loud voice, this is where He's on the cross, He said, Father, into Your hands I commit my spirit. And having said this, He breathed His last. Now I want to ask you something before we eat and drink today. Have you committed your spirit to God? Have you committed your ways to God? Have you committed your life to God and been sincere about it and put your faith in Jesus Christ? And if you haven't, before we eat and before we drink today, I want to give you an opportunity to do that. So I'm just going to ask everybody if you would just bow your heads. Now, I'm just telling you, this is not a magic prayer. I'm talking to people that are sincere right now that know God brought you here today to hear the word of the Lord. You say, Pastor, I am tired of living beat up by sin. I'm tired of being drug around by sin. I'm tired of having this be the same way that I have tried in my own willpower. I've tried in my own wisdom. I've done everything that I know to do, and these things still keep pulling me all over the place. And today, I want to commit myself 100%. I'm willing to lay down anything that is not of God. I'm willing to lay down any relationship. I'm willing to lay down anything that is not congruent with the Word of God today. And I want to commit my life to Jesus. If that's you, I just want you to pray before we eat and drink today. You can pray something like this. Father, I ask You just to forgive me of my sin. I'm not going to try to do it in my own strength. I commit my way to You. I put my faith in Jesus Christ. And I believe that by Your power, You can free me from sin. Lord, I pray right now as we get ready to eat and we get ready to drink. Lord, we thank You for Your grace. I pray right now, Father, for those who are making a decision to commit their lives to You. Lord, I pray for them today that they wouldn't just try to do it in their own strength, but Lord, they would commit their way to You. I pray that they would get the Word of God and they would get the Word in them and the Word would change them, Father. Lord, I pray that all over this place that there would be renewed commitments to Jesus today. There would be renewed commitments to follow You. There would be renewed commitments today, God, to get into Your Word and to get into prayer. Lord, there would be renewed commitments to follow You all the days of our lives. There would be renewed commitments to turn from sin. And right where you're sitting, if you just need to tell God, Lord, I turn from this. Just go ahead and do that. Take this opportunity. Take this moment to do that today. I put my faith in you. I commit my spirit to you. Father, we thank you for the cross. Jesus, we thank you for your body that was broken. Lord, for all who are sick in their body today, we thank you that your body was broken so that we might be. Blood was shed. By your stripes, Lord, we declare that we are healed. We thank you, Jesus, that your blood was shed for the forgiveness of our sins. The Bible says that the blood of bulls and goats was not enough. All it could do was cover our sin, but it couldn't wash our sin away. But thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus, we thank you for your blood that can not only cover our sins, but your blood that can wash our sins away. And Lord, as we eat today and as we drink today, we give honor to you and we say thank you. Thank you for committing yourselves to us, even to the point of death. And today we commit ourselves to you even to the point of death. We die to ourselves so that you can live through us. Lord, we thank you for it. We give you praise for it in Jesus' name. You can eat and drink today. Let's just thank him. Just with your own mouth and your own heart, just thank him for what he's done for you. Are you thankful today that the blood of Jesus has washed your sins away? Are you thankful today that his body was broken for you? Just tell him today, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you didn't leave me where you found me. Thank you that you didn't leave me in that pig pen. Thank you that you didn't leave me in the mud and in my own sin, Lord, but you picked me up. Thank you that you led me to the rock, given us new life. Thank you today, Lord, that you've given us a great commission to go out and share with others what you've done in our lives. Thank you today, Lord, that sin no longer has dominion over us, but we have dominion over it through the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. Lord, I just thank you today that, Lord, as we get ready to dismiss today, Father, I thank you today that you breathe new life. Let's declare in Jesus' name, let us be a church that's committed to you. Let us be a church that's committed to your word. Let us be a church that's committed to each other. Let us be a church that's committed to all things good. Lord, let us be a people that stands for righteousness and stands for your love, God. And Lord, we thank you for it. We give you praise for it in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise this morning. Amen. Kelly, you can go ahead and come.
I just got a few announcements. If you could turn my mic, if I'm on, okay. If you're giving this morning and you need an offering envelope, just raise your hand. I just want to thank you for that. One of the ushers will be around to give you an offering. If you need a pen as well, just raise your hand. I also want to encourage you, we do put a Connect card. We also have them up front. In this morning, if this is something that you wanted to be able to share with the pastor or with the church, you could write down a prayer request. The Connect cards are in our new visitors package, but they're also up front. So this is for anyone who wants to be able to share something that's on your heart, you want to reach out, or you want more information about the church, please fill that out. Just want to remind everybody for the parenting class, that's still meeting on Tuesdays at 7 p.m. If you're interested in that parenting class, we're having a great time. It's not too late to sign up. You can go to the River of Life website, select small groups, and then it's called The Art of Parenting. And so we meet on Tuesdays at 7 p.m. every week. And just a reminder that there's no Wednesday night Bible study. That's held on the first Wednesday of each month, and so the next one will be in November. October 19th, just want to mark your calendars. This is the Fall Festival. This is an opportunity where we as River of Life are out with the community, celebrating with the community, but also reaching out with the Word of God. We set up a booth out there. I think we had balloons, cotton candy last year, But it's just another way that we, as the body or in the community, to be able to reach out to people. And so it's just a way to invite people to church, but also to share the gospel. And if you're here and you want to help volunteer for that, we are looking for volunteers. We have sign-up sheets in the back, so on your way out, you can sign that up. There's time slots that we're just asking you to fill in. It's like a 1 to 2 or 3 hour block, just to come out, either help pass out balloons, games for kids. And so it's a good time. We had a great time last year. So sign-up sheets are in the back, and that's October 19th. That begins at around 11 o'clock to 4 p.m. for the event. But also that same morning, we have our men's breakfast. We meet every month. The men's meet for some breakfast. The men come out here. We're actually out here at the church. We cook the breakfast, and then there's a word shared this month. I think Brad's going to be sharing the word. And then we're going to come out and just have a good time. Great time last month. So we encourage all the men, if you're interested, October 19th, we'll meet here at 8 a.m. for breakfast. Also, for those who are interested and haven't been part of our Next Step class, that's an opportunity where you get to learn a little more about River of Life, what we believe. Also, if you're interested in being a member of River of Life, or just you have some questions, we encourage you. We start the Next Step class next Sunday, immediately after service. We have that for 3 Sundays for this month, so I encourage you, if you're interested, you can actually fill out the Connect card or see one of the pastors and let them know that you're interested in signing up for the Next Step class. Also for this month, we have one of our outreaches is what they're referring to as Socktober. It's an opportunity where we give to the local shelters. So we're collecting new socks and hygiene gear every Sunday of this month, or as you're coming into the church, you can bring it into the front. As soon as you come into the facility to your right, you can put down what you're giving. Deb, who's not here this morning, who leads our outreach, is collecting that. We'll be giving that at the end of the month. So encourage you, again, collecting new socks, hygiene products for the local homeless shelters. That is for the month of October. Lastly, if you look down, you're going to look at this kind of grimy carpet. That's getting replaced this week, so if you spill coffee on it this morning, that's okay. We're going to replace that, and so we're really excited about a lot of the changes that we've seen. If you've been here for the past 4 or 5 months, you've seen a lot of changes within the church as we're getting this place fixed up, painted, making it a little more visually appealing, but particularly for the floor. So we are getting the carpets pulled this week, and one of the things that we're doing right after the chili cook-off after service today, we encourage you, if you want to stay, we have chili, cornbread, desserts, all kind of things to be able to share. We're doing that once a month. We also, it's a contest as well, so we have some judges who are going to judge the chili. If you made some chili and you brought it, we encourage you to stay afterwards. But immediately after the chili cook-off, if you can stay, we're going to be moving the chairs out of the space so that the installers can come in here and do the work for next week. And also, if you just want to make a note for your Connect cards, you fill that out, or an offering envelope, you can bring that to the back. There's a box. We call it an offering box. You can just drop that in on your way out of the service. Amen? I think that's all. If you don't mind, I'll stand and we'll pray, and then we can have some chili after this. Dear Heavenly Father, we just come boldly before your throne, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for your word, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for our commitment to you. And I just bless the congregation today as they go out, Lord. Let your word, Father, Lord, does not return void, Father, Lord, to deal with us in a way, Father, Lord, that we are turning our ways to commit to you, Father, to turn our way from sin, Father, Lord. Just bless your people as they go out, Father, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, amen.